You are listening to Suspended License, Episode 1, Blade Runner.
I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
Yeah, Blade Runner. That's this week's topic, right?
Yep, Blade Runner.
Oh man, Blade Runner is such a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that I saw, you know, ages ago. I remember renting it from the local video store and watching it a handful of times, but it wasn't anything I ever really got crazy about until I was quite a bit older.
They're actually making a sequel to Blade Runner.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Ridley Scott talking about doing a sequel. Without Deckard, which is, that's okay with me, but kind of as we'll sort of talk about it today, you'll see kind of why I think there's a lot of room for a sequel to Blade Runner. So,
oh yeah, it's a big world, and I think if you make a sequel to a movie that's so iconic like Blade Runner, one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time, like
absolutely.
Trying to emulate the old characters and everything again isn't going to work super well, as we've seen with
right.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the exact same actor.
Right.
He would just come on screen and just like, I'm a Blade Runner.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Maddie.
How boring would it be if they just got Deckard back and like, oh, Roy Batty's back. Like, let's go after him again, you know? Like,
yeah,
please,
which would
please,
be impressive considering he's dead.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's Roy Batty version 2.0.
Roy Batty 0.2. Right. Okay, yeah. With a new movie coming out, that'd be a good time for a video game to get made out of it, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they did already make a Blade Runner video game that's actually kind of pretty well received. I haven't personally played it, but it's more of like an adventure game. And it actually kind of sounds interesting. Kind of sounds like an early version of what Heavy Rain tried to do, that there are certain options and stuff that you can take throughout the course of the campaign that will like literally change the ending. There's reportedly like 16 endings to the game.
Huh. All I know about the game is that it was made out of voxels, which as a kind of geeky guy myself, like a tech geek kind of thing,
right.
It is an interesting little bit of apocrypha,
right? But that game was made in '97, so it's video games have come quite a long way since then. So I definitely think there's room for a modern take on the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had kind of a preconceived notion when we first started talking about doing this of what I thought a Blade Runner game would be, and it kind of changed a little bit here and there as I rewatched the movie. So kind of what direction do you see a Blade Runner game taking? Like, you know, what genre do you think it would work best in? And, you know, where do you see it going?
Honestly, I think it could work in just about any kind of genre. Maybe not any kind of genre. Like Blade Runner, the kart racer, probably wouldn't be that great.
Yeah, that was actually kind of one of the most interesting things I thought about the movie is that, man, there are about 1,000 different elements in this movie that could be its own game, let alone, you know, like one solid full game, you know. I mean, there's a lot of different things in the movie that, can be, you know, little tiny bits of a grander game, or the game, the movie itself and the world, you know, fits so well for so many genres. I mean, you can, if you really wanted to, you could go with an RPG, you could go, you know, you could go the easy route and go an FPS, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do. But the one thing that I really, really, really love about the movie, and that's why I think a sequel will work and why a video game will work, is the world itself. So in my mind, the perfect Blade Runner game would just be sort of set in that world, you know, like
sort of an open world game.
Right. Right. I mean, right. I mean, my, I was a crazy big fan of Red Dead Redemption when that came out, and man, just like I get chills just thinking about being able to just fly around 2019 Los Angeles, you know, sort of in that Red Dead Redemption, you know, the style of the game, obviously not a Western, but the just sort of the exploration and sort of the way the story unfolds and everything.
Right, and an argument could be made that while the setting is different, it actually is kind of a Western. It carries on a lot of the different Western themes. Yeah. Like The Big Lebowski is kind of a Western, even sure. though it's, you know, that sort of thing. Western kind of transcends that setting. In
right.
a way. But
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Yeah, and I mean, did you have any thoughts about sort of where, you know, directions you think it could go, you know, settings and everything like that?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Heavy Rain, because I thought like a Heavy Rain style sort of thing with maybe better mechanics would be kind of interesting. The first thing that pops into my head, not the first thing that pops into my head, I guess, but one of the first things is the old Tex Murphy games, which were basically Blade Runner games, like very low rent Blade Runner games, but Blade Runner games nonetheless, in a
Sweet.
Sense, in that they were crime noir, cyberpunk fiction, techno zerots, flying around in flying cars kind of video games, which can be found on GOG now, I believe. But the idea of kind of stringing together more investigative procedures and that sort of thing, but in between, and that, or stringing those together between with like flying around the city in
right.
a car as your primary mode of transportation, sounded really interesting. It seems really interesting to me. Like Mass Effect 2, when there's a scene in Mass Effect 2 where you first meet Thane.
That whole set piece is, man, that's fun.
Yeah, exactly. But and leading up to it, you're in the flying cars and everything, and I thought
right.
to myself, well, oh man, like Blade Runner video game, not too far in the wings. We're not too far from being able to do that.
Right.
And you know, sort of that sort of thing. And then as you fly around, but with manual control of the car and everything, to kind of traverse the environment, leading you to different hub areas, sort of thing. And maybe when you get there, it kind of becomes a little bit investigative, but then you can kind of maybe play around with first-person shooter aspects or third-person shooter aspects or something like
sure.
that, too.
Yeah, I mean, even I think we would be remiss if we didn't sort of bring up the comparison to maybe even something L.A. Noir style, a little investigative. I mean, you've even got the ability to sort of to ape the interrogation scenes in L.A. Noir by doing the Voight Kampff tests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, like, there is potential right there to be able to, you know, just sort of do the test on anybody and, you know.
I love that idea.
Right? I mean, you could, like, imagine that. Like, you could do the test on people that are, you know, important to the story, or you could do the test to people who are maybe, you know, people you deal with on little side missions. And, you know, of course, there could be an achievement tied to how many replicants you find or whatever, but
yeah, sort of side, like little side replicants that are not
right,
like,
right,
that
right.
are side quests. Like if you ever played Star Wars Bounty Hunter mm-hmm. for PlayStation 2, there was kind of a thing like that where you could pull up a scanner and look for people with their own bounties and stuff like that that have nothing to do with the main story. Something
Sweet.
Like that. You'd have to have like a portable version of the Voight Kampff machine, I think would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That you could pull out like a little iPad kind of looking thing that you slide open and test people. On the street.
Yeah, that actually kind of brings up another interesting perspective that I think not only in the sequel, but if they did make a video game, how would they update the technology? I mean, if you consider it, it's 2011 right now, and I don't really see 8 years from now L.A. becoming that.
Yeah, techno ziggurats are not within 8
right.
years.
And then, you know, like, I always get a kick out of when I see old older movie set in the future when they're still using like CRT monitors and stuff like that. And
Omega Man, Soylent Green, when he's still playing a copy of Space War.
Yeah, those are all over like Alien and everything as well. So, but I mean, would it be appropriate, do you think, to update some of that, bring in, you know, touch interfaces, some kind of motion control technology, or does that even matter? Or, you know, I mean, would it then change the world too much, or do you think there's room for that?
I don't think that it really... I've got two kind of opinions on that. It's like, A, I don't think it really matters, because I feel Blade Runner is sort of an alternate universe, a parallel timeline to our own anyway, to the point where you could get away with just keeping it look the way it looks, and kind of like a Fallout kind of aesthetic, where Fallout, they, you know, it's 2250, but they've still got like vacuum tube computers and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But and the other thing too is that presumably if they made a video game, it wouldn't just I think you have different thoughts on this than I do, but presumably if they made a new video game, it wouldn't take place during the course of the original movie. It would take place sometime after the original movie.
More
room to play with.
Yeah, that brings up another sort of another thing I thought about a lot while I was rewatching the movie, because before I rewatched it just a couple days ago, I was thinking like, man, they could just basically follow the plot of this movie directly, and you know, you've got a game. I mean, you could break up the levels based on the different replicants you have to find. You could even reincorporate the missing replicant that was taken out of the movie. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you could do. You could literally remake the movie as a game. But you know, as I was watching it, I'm like, man, that would be a really bad idea if they just remade the movie as a game, because then, you know, you run into such situations like, you know, like you've mentioned before with Indiana Jones 4 and everything. So I think, like I said, I think that the world is so rich and there's so much potential there that you can kind of do anything, you know? I mean, as long as it's got the foundations, and as long as you're playing a Blade Runner, obviously, I think there's so much potential, you know? There's so much you can do. As far as whether or not it's a prequel or a sequel, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay, check this out. All right, I just had the idea. You were mentioning the Voight comp tests and the L.A. Noir kind of aspect of interrogating people. So if you didn't make a direct story kind of clone of Blade Runner, instead you just took a bunch of the themes of Blade Runner. I think one of the biggest and kind of most controversial themes about the original movie is the concept that Deckard might in fact be a replicant. At the end, if you watch the final cut version, it's pretty obvious that he probably is a replicant.
Right.
I like the idea of in this game that that there's like sort of like a Blade Runner internal affairs that thinks that it suspects that you might be a replicant, and they have like one sort of member who is kind of convinced that you are a replicant, but doesn't have any proof to and whatnot. So I like the idea of you Voight comp testing people like that throughout the game, and then I like maybe halfway through or something you'd have a sequence where you get Voight comp tested yourself, and there's a whole sequence where you're trying to trick the Voight comp test.
Right, so it's like almost like reversing the L.A. Noir interrogation scenes, and sort of you're being interrogated, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and you've got to kind of use the trick, like almost like how Assassin's Creed Brotherhood used the whole concept of you have to try and act like an NPC. You almost have to try and reverse break the game. Like, you have to go back and think of all the different interrogations you've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, within the game, you know, you could, obviously, you wouldn't know whether or not you're a replicant, so you would want to sort of, even if you were suspicious, you would want to sort of lead them.
You don't want them to think that you're a replicant. Regardless of whether you think you're a replicant, you don't want them to think you're a replicant either.
Yeah, right. So yeah,
I like that idea.
That kind of brings up another idea that I think there's room for. I mean, would you see this as sort of a Mass Effect style, I wouldn't say choose your own adventure, but, you know, your actions sort of determine the outcome of the game to an extent, or there are certain decisions that affect you as a character. So, you know, even like something in Heavy Rain, where at certain points you have these final decisions to make about your character, and it'll change the endings that you see and everything. So, I mean, could you theoretically play through the game and you're definitely not a replicant by the end, or could you play through it and it's more ambiguous? I mean, would you incorporate RPG elements into it to the extent that it's, you know, you're creating your character kind of from scratch and creating its history and everything?
There are arguments to be made for both sides. I think for Blade Runner it would fit more like telling a succinct and normal story, but at the same time, the concept of like having a sort of Silent Hill Shattered Memories style element where based on your actions and answers to the Void Comp tests that are given to you and the places, the ways that you go and stuff like that, like building towards this sort of invisible meter in the game that kind of determines that at the end of the game, like you make you like depending on what you do, maybe it turns out that you are a replicant, or depending on what you do, it turns out you're not a replicant, or something like that, or depending on how you go along, just like with Silent Hill games past, depending on your actions and whatnot, the endings change dramatically, and
right.
Especially yeah, Shattered Memories, I think, is a great example.
Right, and that's sort of something that was covered a little bit, I guess, in the 97 game, but obviously not necessarily as pretty as what could be
sure.
done now. I mean, I sort of waffle on that, because when I think of something, when I think of the experience like Red Dead Redemption, and it was definitely an open world game, there wasn't a lot of options, you know, there wasn't like really a morality system or anything.
Cool.
Right. But then when I think about that kind of experience, it was definitely more cinematic, and it sort of let them tell their story. And
exactly.
I loved the story in that game. So
oh, me too.
Is that, would it be more appropriate to sort of let the game makers sort of tell their story, or would it be more appropriate for you to be able to sort of influence it by your actions? You know, I think there's the aspect that gets brought up a lot and sort of gets compared to a lot is, you know, something like in BioShock, where it sort of makes you kind of question the role of first-person shooters by, you know, the fact that, you know, spoiler alert, I forget the character's name now I feel
Andrew
like an asshole.
Ryan?
But, right, Andrew Ryan is, you know, he's sort of, you know, you're kind of being controlled by a third party in that game.
Oh,
the guy
controlling you is Atlas.
Right, Atlas. That, I was going to say Atlas, but I wasn't positive, so.
Right.
But,
BioShock 2, actually, I think, if you haven't beaten BioShock 2, does another sort of thing, too, where depending on your actions throughout the game, there's like 8 different endings, and depending on minuscule little actions you do, there are like very subtly different endings that you can get at the end of BioShock 2.
When I think about a third person shooter, which is kind of, that's just sort of where I lean towards with this, but
well, you got to see his trench coat billowing in the wind.
Oh, totally, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You've got the, you know, like the Batman cape kind of billowing, you know. The kind of, I think there's a lot that can be said about sort of the remote control and the constantly being watched that a replicant would potentially be facing, you know. So I think that having it as a third person, sort of the god that is controlling you and watching you constantly, whereas in BioShock it was somebody that was in your head, you know, so it was first person, you're looking at your hands and the control is coming from within you, whereas within something like what a replicant would be feeling is maybe the control is coming from outside. So I think that there's a lot of room there to sort of make a nice commentary on third person action as well. So
yeah.
So when you look at it that way, I think there's a lot of room then for more RPG elements. You know, I could actually go either way. I would love to see a really cool story just sort of told straightforward, but, you know, then you think of something like Mass Effect where it's like, man, that story kicks ass, but it also has these incredible RPG elements. So
sure, yeah.
I'd hesitate to sort of call out any one developer that I think would be able to tackle this. But
I was just about to ask you, that was going to be my next question, was going to be what developer do you think you would, I mean, like, which developer would you like to see tackle this game?
I mean, just based purely on the ability to create a world, and I think, again, that's kind of the most appealing concept to me about a potential Blade Runner game. I mean, Rockstar can make a world really, really well. So, I mean, there's that cachet that kind of comes along with the Rockstar brand as well that I think could maybe lend itself to this game. So maybe Rockstar? I don't know. I think there's probably 1,000 other developers out there that could do it better, but it just sort
I mean,
of
yeah, feels, this is just like your dream developer, like
yeah.
who you think would be really great at it.
I mean, of course, I could name 1,000 other developers that I think would do an interesting version of the game, but as far as the game I would definitely want to play, I mean, if I saw a Rockstar-branded Blade Runner, I'd buy that, you know?
Right, and they've done...
I'd pre-order that, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and they've done pretty interesting things with licensed games before, like the Warriors, which is actually a great... sort of comparison, considering it's another 80s, no, Warriors is 70s. It's another old movie franchise that they kind of
right.
took from.
And they did, no, right.
And they did very interesting and very varied things with it, like the things that didn't really necessarily have anything to do with the main plot, but just were like very Warriors things that I think that Rockstar would maybe get right, like the Void Comp test, like with the Warriors, you had the breaking into cars and stealing radios mini game thing that really didn't affect much. But it was just a very Warriors type thing for you to be doing, or running away from trucks chasing you kind of thing. It was a game about running, and that because
right.
it was a movie about running. And Rockstar kind of say what you will about them, they definitely have reverence for their own influences. In the case of Warriors, is
oh,
very
yeah,
blatant.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very blatant that the Warriors is influenced by the Warriors. But like even in Red Dead Redemption, it's very much like The Unforgiven and like The
Man
Wild
with
Bunch.
No name, Man with No
the
Name.
The Man with
trilogy.
No Name, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they do wear their influences on their sleeves. And, it, I mean, I don't think that Rockstar has done, like, a sci-fi game yet.
They did, actually. I think there was an expansion for it. Or no, GTA 2 took place in the future, actually.
Right. Well, I mean, like the you know, like the Rockstar kind of San Diego group doing something in a, you know, in LA, you know, a 2019 LA. That's just, there's so much potential there. They have such an ability to create a living kind of more or less believable space, and I just think they could do a lot with it. So,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of who I would pick. I mean, did you kind of have a different route? You were thinking,
man, it's tough to kind of nail down any one person. I would almost say Ubisoft Montreal, who made the
Assassin's Creed,
the Assassin's Creed game, which I think they are also very good at making like open worldy things. But then
yes,
also
very true.
But then also tying in. What Ubisoft Montreal does that really well that I really love that not a lot of developers do is they incorporate verticality into their games.
Traversal,
yeah. And in a game that took place in the Blade Runner universe, you'd need to have the you flying cars, obviously. And I think they would do a very good job of incorporating that sort of flying car thing into the regular part of the world,
right.
being able to have you go up and down throughout the world.
And you've got the inevitable chase sequence as well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I highly doubt you're going to come across a replicant and they're going to be like, all right, shoot me. You know, I mean,
yeah.
you're going to want to chase them down. I mean, there's the iconic scene in the movie.
A lot of slightly parkour kind of thing, kind of parkour moments throughout the 2019 LA architecture it would be very, very cool, I think, like running
yes.
after them and that sort of thing. On top of that, I think one thing that Ubisoft does in pretty much all of their games at least they used to do this more than they do now, is I like the way they tie gameplay elements into the story. So mm-hmm. like you were saying with BioShock, you know, you follow objectives in the game, but it's just like every other game you've ever played, except then you find out that the reason you're following objectives is because of something that's going on in the story that you didn't even know was happening in the story until
right.
near the very end. And with Ubisoft, they've done like the original Sands of Time. They explain death by like the prince screwing up his storytelling and having to restart from an earlier point because he got off track with his story or with...
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it gives you a narrative. It compels you through the narrative to play a game, not necessarily experience the story.
Right.
So,
I like the way it plays off of certain things like that. And I think mm-hmm. in a game about replicants, that would be very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like Ubisoft Montreal is that'd be a wonderful example of a powerful developer to get behind it. And you know, they also did a really good job with the Assassin's Creed games of incorporating these essentially mini games into this elaborate campaign, but they all feel like they're part of something. You know, you've got the Subject 16 puzzles, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can incorporate from the Blade Runner universe that kind of fit into something like that, you know. I kind of lean a little bit towards the idea of a prequel only because I think Tyrell is such a powerful figure, and he could sort of lord over the world sort of in the way that Warden Sharp does in the Arkham games.
It's interesting you mention that, because I was going to say if not Ubisoft Montreal, my second choice would be Rocksteady, would be a great...
Yeah, I mean... That's almost like a gimme, because like I think given how good they did with Arkham City, like I would give them any franchise to be able to,
sure,
to take and you know, massage.
Oh,
you know,
Deckard, come over here. Let me just rub you down with Batman. You go over that corner and wait with Batman. I think they also incorporate a lot of the stuff that I was talking about with Ubisoft Montreal, like the verticality and mm-hmm. the small, tight, little, almost one-off moments of like just these little things that you would think to do, like Batman's got his little radio transmitter thing, which you do all of like five times in that game. You track down these radio transmissions and stuff, but they put it in there and you use it almost never, but it's still just a little cool addition. And that's just, and the game is full of little moments like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Arkham City, that is.
I mean, is there anything else you kind of think we should cover as far as the sound for the game? I mean, you obviously need a really good composer to come back in and do the Vangelis score. I mean,
I don't know the guy's name, but the guy who did the music for the Dune movie, the David Lynch version of Dune.
Yeah,
I think would be a great choice to do music for that.
I should do a little bit more research before I come into this, but like the guy did the score for Mass Effect, which is kind of almost, I mean, just that score kind of harkens back to Blade Runner.
Right. Well, that the score for Mass Effect harkens back to like every 70s through 90s sci-fi movie. Like the death music is basically the music from Terminator.
Right. Yeah, it's Jack Wald.
Jack Wald. Okay, yeah. So, I think he would be a great choice.
Right. I mean, there's so much that you can do. So, yeah, I mean, I think all in all, kind of the whole point of this podcast is just basically, I think that there's a lot of potential in a lot of different licensed material. I mean, Batman is a prime example of a license done incredibly well. So Blade Runner is just kind of the first thing that kind of came to mind for what I thought a really good video game could be. So, I mean, there's things that we could cover. But
I do like your concept of L.A. Noir in the future, maybe with tighter gameplay elements.
Yeah, right. I mean, less. I sort of see it as less investigation-y and more action-y.
Yeah,
you
but still enough of that investigation.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
With L.A. Noir, with maybe a little bit more of a focused action element, I think would be
action, and the action doesn't even have to be on gunplay necessarily. Like, I like the idea of the action being on the chase.
Right.
Mostly.
Right.
And maybe you like only kill like half a dozen to a dozen guys in the entire game, like kind of like L.A. Noire kind of does. If you ignore the side stuff, you don't kill many people in L.A. Noire. But
yeah, that's actually an interesting point as well, that I think that there's, you know, I'm bringing up Batman again. You don't really kill anybody in Batman because you're Batman and Batman doesn't kill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of, I mean, sure, you beat the shit out of some people, but just that idea that you don't necessarily have to kill people to make a good video game. And I'm always interested in exploring options to where you don't have to kill people. So I like the idea of our Blade Runner character sort of chasing someone down and subduing them as opposed to just shooting them in the head, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would give much more impact to these scenes where you do have to shoot the replicants because that's your job.
Yeah.
You know?
And then build, like, rather than have a game where it's a kind of of, you know, you're mowing down 1,000 nameless guys. Like, every person in that game that you have to take down, because you, and like I say, take down because you, I mean, he literally has to kill them. That's how
right.
Blade Runner works.
That's his job, right?
Yeah. There is no, it's retiring the replicants. It's not arresting them or anything like that. But, like, give a lot of, like, use that example of, you know, only having a half a dozen guys that you have to find and kill throughout that entire game. Use that as an excuse to just pour a lot of backstory and information and, like, make you really care about these characters that you have to track down and find and maybe even sympathize with a little bit.
Right.
The other thing that really sticks out in my head is just a really cool sequence, I think, for the game would be a part where whatever Blade Runner you're playing as is in a spaceport as it's coming in, and you know that there's a replicant on one of the spaceships that's coming in, and having to like track down a replicant in a giant crowd of people. For some reason, that sounds like a cool set piece to me. I don't know how you would make that work exactly without just giving it straight up Batman detective vision or something.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there's something interesting you could do there.
Yeah, I mean, you could sort of assume then that the replicant would know that there is a Blade Runner after them, so. Just sort of keeping your eye out, and you know.
I think that would make an awesome opening to the game. I think the game, totally. like giant crowded space.
That sort of brings up another idea that I had before I sort of came to the idea that the open world would kind of be the best option for it. One of the things I was thinking was doing a game entirely from Deckard's perspective. So there are very few scenes in the movie that take place without Deckard in the scene or without Deckard's perspective involved. And I think sort of eliminating those and showing them from Deckard's perspective would have been cool, except for the very beginning of the movie that has the Voight Kampff test with the one replicant. So I thought that like that would kind of be an interesting way to open the game, is just opening with a Voight Kampff test. Kicking off, you know, very similar to the movie, sort of kicking off the series of actions that would sort of get our character introduced into it. A replicant murdering somebody who's administering the test. So,
or even like your main character is administering the test or whatever, and like kind of play off of that opening scene where he gets shot up at the very beginning, and instead of where this time the replicant tries to shoot you the guy up, and then he just like manages at the last second to get out of the way or something, and then it just goes straight into a chase scene where you're chasing down this replicant through like an office building and jump out of a window or something. I don't know, but
yeah, you could even do an interesting little callback to another famous Harrison Ford character in Han Solo and having him shoot first.
That'd be cool.
So like he sort of has that realization, and you maybe have like a split second where you have to decide, I'm going to shoot this guy right now, or something bad's going to happen.
I still think that there's room for that spaceport scene, but
oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's another thing that I think, especially somebody like Ubisoft Montreal could pull off really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly. Pushing your way through the crowd,
right?
Yeah, and then I kind of like the scene in Blade Runner. I forget the replicant's name, but she was the military one that became like that was like a snake erotic dancer. Whatever, and like him shooting through kind of a crowd of people as the crowd of people sort of parts, and you have to shoot, you have a second to shoot and whatnot. Something to that effect. I'm not sure.
That's a cool idea. That's definitely a cool idea.
And then I like the idea of you killing the first replicant, and then like as the body falls, or like as you fire the shot that kills the first replicant in the game, I like the idea of the screen just going black with the Blade Runner like logo over it, and just having like a Inception, doom, something like that. I'm not sure, but I mean, this is what this podcast is. It's just talking about what we think would be cool.
We should incorporate that into the opening of this podcast in some way. But you know, obviously, we are not professional game makers. We're just a couple of video game fans who talk about awesome shit.
And we both come from slightly different backgrounds too. Like you are quite obviously, just, you know, just since this is the first episode, just give some background, I guess. You are quite obviously an artist, and I am a writer. So I think that we both kind of tackle these things from different perspectives too.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, is there anything else you kind of want to cover with, in regards to Blade Runner? I mean, I think we kind of had a pretty good, we kind of covered quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I think we did a good job. Nolan North should do the voice of the Blade Runner.
Well, he's inevitably going to be in it, so might as well give him the starring role.
He should actually, you know what? Nolan North as like the main replicant, like the Roy Batty style character. I would love to hear Nolan North play a villain, like a real sadistic villain.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he did. He kind of had the opportunity to in Arkham City.
Yeah, he did play the Penguin. So. Yeah, that guy has got great vocal range, by the way.
Did he do the Penguin in that game?
He did the Penguin in that game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I was thinking Deadshot, but...
He might have done him, too. He does a bunch of voices in Arkham City, but he does do the Penguin. He's got great vocal range. It's just that everybody just tells him, just do the Nathan Drake voice. He's in Ratchet & Clank Future, A Crack in Time, if you've ever played that.
Plays
a character that you would never... He plays the, like, little... steward robot guy, the Sigmund. He has got great range. He's just nobody uses it. But I would love to hear Nolan North take on like a top tier villain. Like Penguin is obviously a cool guy, but Penguin is
he was more of a secondary villain.
Yeah, he was B-list. So,
yeah,
to be sure.
So yeah, that giving him the opportunity to sort of go nuts with it. But yeah, I think we did a pretty good job of kind of hitting all the points we wanted to.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll do another one of these soon. I guess that's it. Should we
think of like an interesting thing to say at the end?
No.
Okay.
No. We'll just say bye and stay tuned because hopefully we'll do more of these. So.
I'm Steven Strum and bye.
I'm Justin Russo. Take care.
Has there ever been a movie, book, or other licensed property that you think would make a great video game? Then let us know by emailing us at suspendedpod@gmail.com or on Twitter @suspendedpod.